840 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. We're going to get a look into a former president's private financial information.
The House Ways and Means Committee voted to release 6 years of former President Trump's tax returns. Legal analyst Lori Levinson.
The Republicans are upset because they said that this is just a political maneuver.
They believe by opening these to the public,
other individuals, certainly politicians and maybe even private individuals, will have their tax returns and the private information in them revealed to the public.
Stacy Lynn, CBS News, Washington.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is planning his first trip to the U.S. since the start of the war in his country. Multiple sources tell CBS News the visit includes a planned speech to Congress Wednesday night.
With Democrats still in control of Congress, lawmakers are set to vote on a year-end spending package that includes $45 billion in emergency assistance.
It fulfills the promise Democrats made to defend democracy at home and abroad.
On Tuesday, Zelensky visited the front line in eastern Ukraine, where explosions could be heard in the distance as he thanked troops. They gave him a Ukrainian flag, and Zelensky suggested that he would give it to Congress and President Biden. Deborah Alferone, CBS News, Washington.
A white Christmas may be a cold Christmas, definitely. The Weather Channel's Chris Warren says a major storm system will bring dangerous conditions across the country this week.
Extremely cold air from the Arctic will drop down into the United States in the form of a front, bringing winter storm conditions and dangerously cold wind chills from Canada all the way down to Mexico.
What a tweet. Twitter owner Elon Musk says he'll step down as CEO as soon as he finds someone who's, in his words, foolish enough to take the job. Reaction from CNET editor-at-large Ian Schur.
There are increasing concerns on Wall Street about his electric car company, Tesla, and whether splitting his time with Tesla and the rocket company SpaceX and Twitter is too much, and it's leading to meaningful problems.
Millions of low-income people who rely on federal health insurance are months away from losing that coverage. The cutoff would take effect April 1st under the $1.7 trillion spending package that congressional leaders unveiled on Tuesday. The legislation ends a pandemic-era provision that barred states from kicking people off Medicaid while the public health emergency was still in effect. If the legislation passes as is, millions of people will be removed from the Medicaid program, which gives coverage to about 80 million people in the U.S. This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family?
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gina Beauclair.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really missed you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Pat, I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us today. It is the last hour, the third hour of today's Tuesday show. As always, you can join the conversation, 844-967-2789. And so, as we've established, Jane and I were both very sick last week. We both had COVID. And I feel like with COVID tests, like you and I could wake up last Tuesday and take a COVID test, and we knew exactly what we had because it was positive.
Yes.
But in reality, if you test negative, you're still sick and you don't know what you have, and you're kind of at the whim of potentially WebMD to try to diagnose yourself. So imagine if you could, instead of having to go to the hospital or go in and see your doctor, you could use a free kiosk and it could put you in touch with a nurse, and she could help get you the information or the diagnosis that you need. So that is exactly what a new Madison-based telehealth company is doing. And here to tell us more about it is Bree Laughlin, who is the founder and CEO of this company that's called Nurse Disrupted. And welcome to the show. Thanks for coming in the studio.
Thank you for having me, Kristen. It's exciting.
So let's back up. And before you started Nurse Disrupted, what is your background?
Well, I've been a nurse for over 20 years.
Okay, that's a good start.
And I was actually brought to Madison, Wisconsin in 2012 to join Epic. I joined the clinical informatics team, so okay. I was an executive nurse, really focused on nursing innovation, and I managed products and worked with big health systems on their EHR strategies.
So what is, because, you know, when I think of Epic, I guess it makes sense that that they would employ nurses and doctors, but I just think of it so much as like the technology, the product, the salespeople that are in the consultants who are in the hospitals and stuff like that. So I didn't realize that they also employ people who are like nurses to be giving information like that. So how much of a technology background did you have to get that job?
Well, first of all, technology is nursing these days. I mean, all of that is part of our practice. For me, I've had, you know, a career path that I love. I did start off at the bedside in kidney and liver transplant, but I was always a tech nerd nurse. So in the 90s, okay. That meant having a Palm Pilot in my scrubs, you know, and that was just wow with
a
all these
pilot.
Other.
Palm Pilot, wow,
oh, yeah.
Throwback.
Oh, yes, yes. But I always believed in the promise of technology and elevating the delivery of healthcare. So I was weaving it into my practice. I was also a musician in Seattle. I was an electronic musician, writing music
Very
and touring.
Cool.
And so my first crossover from what you think of as a bedside nurse to business and technology, and actually a startup company called Jobster. The bridge of it was my electronic music. And so they knew that I loved technology, knew that I was good with it, knew as a nurse that I was tough as nails. And that's how I got into my first startup company. So I did consulting after that, then came back solidly to healthcare. But here you have this nurse who's a tech nerd. And forever, the two worlds were entwined. So once I joined Sutter Health in Northern California, I was working with Epic, working with patients and optimizing workflows. Then I got on the radar of Epic Madison, and the rest is history.
And now you're a Midwest gal.
Now I am. It's true. Here to stay.
So then how did it evolve from working at Epic to this idea of a kiosk that people can, without having to go to a hospital, engage with to get information from a nurse?
Yeah. I mean, Nurse Disrupted was born in crisis in the pandemic. And what I was doing for Epic, you know, one of the products that I managed was a mobile application for nursing documentation. And it had to do with working with hardware companies, working with their own developers, and then working with the end users and really designing the product around these three things. So when I was working with Carla Tennis, the executive director for Porchlight, which is Madison's adult male shelter, we were looking at how they were cut off from healthcare. And then we started taking inventory of what they had. They had a utility trailer that was parked out on West Washington that could be plugged into a lamppost. We had low power, pretty much a stripped down utility trailer. She had a volunteer staff, a shoestring budget. But all of this design mind that I'd been putting towards this big software company really fell into place when I was looking at what Carla had to work with. And I just knew what to do, where it's like, this is the hardware, this is the software. It had to be crazy simple. It had to be place-based. It had to work in a trailer that had low power, no internet. And that's how our first kiosk went into play. The idea came up, and Carla approved it on March 23rd, 2020.
Oh,
we
wow.
were live with our first telehealth nurses doing screening at the shelter March 25th of 2020. We launched it in 48 hours, and I will never go that fast again, but we still go pretty fast.
That's really early in the pandemic.
Yeah.
That is like the week after everything shut down early.
Yeah, correct. And the evidence was still coming out. So what were the symptoms? How do you identify people? Yeah. How do you screen people? We were working with the Department of Health, you know, as well as all of these community resources that were helping people who were experiencing homelessness. And as the science was coming out and as the evidence base was coming out, I mean, for instance, screening people for COVID, in the beginning, it was three questions. You know, do you have a cough, runny nose, sore throat? It went from 3 to 5 to 7 to 11 as the science was evolving and how we were working together. So, it was early and we were just trying to move really fast. And we did. We've made over 42,000 patient connections in homeless shelters around Wisconsin across 400 clinicians. And at first, it was all nursing students earning practicum hours to graduate from their Wisconsin schools of nursing.
Oh, wow. That was going to be one of my questions. And so that's an incredible origin story. And so in the almost 3 years since you started, how has it evolved and how does it work today?
Yeah. The problem that we were solving at its heart was access to healthcare. And a big access to healthcare is there's not enough providers. There's not enough of us. It would be so great if we had enough providers, not only for our community centers, but, you know, even when we look at the hospitals,
nursing
shortage, right? So in the beginning, it was, okay, how can we use telehealth to bridge that provider shortage gap? And as I was working with health systems and talking about this is population health. So what we do in homeless shelters is straight up population health, decreasing the utilization of high cost resources like emergency departments by expanding access to more appropriate levels of care. We do it through telehealth. We do it through wildly simple and affordable telehealth. But when we were talking to health systems, they're like, Bree, yes, our population health strategy is so important, but we really can't think beyond the nursing shortage. This is something that is a big passion of mine as well. I've done research on workload and really, you know, at Epic, another project that I worked on was called precision staffing to try and help with measuring nursing workload. So it made sense that people were saying, can you help us with this? And as it turns out, the barriers that we broke down in the community for telehealth, the simplicity, the affordability, even the internet connectivity, winds up breaking down barriers to getting what's called virtual nursing to the elbow of inpatient nurses. So inpatient nurses, when there's not enough of us, then we have to take more patients. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of having 3 transplant patients, our nurses are having to take 5 and 6. And they're not able to get to each patient in a timely way. Virtual nursing allows for a more efficient use of your nursing staff that exists. So you can have a virtual nurse that's doing what's called admission documentation or discharge documentation. This is super lengthy documentation that a remote nurse can do quickly so that the nurse at the bedside can help you with medications and your IV lines and taking you to your physical therapy appointment. But the barrier, a few things to know about nursing is that we're the largest workforce in healthcare. There's more of us than anyone else. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about a telehealth solution, you have to think of us as the teledoc for nursing, because you really have to say this is going to be for the masses, many healthcare providers. So the simplicity of the technology, nurses have a million things, their EHR, their mobile device, their logging in, logging out of things. So we have a one-touch interface, and that alleviates the pressure for the bedside nurse and brings in that virtual resource to help them with their workload. Affordability. So saying, listen, if we're going to help every nurse, it has to be an affordable solution. Mm-hmm. Our health systems are getting financially crushed. And so to say, listen, we can make virtual nursing a priority for you in these times, you know, that we grew up in a trailer with no budget and volunteers, positions us so well for being at the hospital, like I said, at the elbow of every nurse.
Mm-hmm. And so currently there's how many kiosks?
Currently in the world today, being used are 7 kiosks.
7 kiosks. And when you say the world, so this is, you've already expanded outside of Wisconsin?
January will be our first expansion. We expect there to be 7 new states going live.
Wow. Yeah. I did not know that part. So that's, and so, but the priority right now is specifically working with underserved populations. So people who are experiencing homelessness, underinsured, or who is kind of the target audience, at least for now, because this does sound like something that could be very useful for a lot of people, not just people who are historically underserved with healthcare. Yeah.
Nurse Disrupted now has 2 clear focuses, always in the community, and we are expanding in homeless shelters across the United States now. But we are going live in inpatient settings come the new year to really work on that nursing shortage piece, and that is urgent, and it's a crisis. Our nurses need help now. And so both of those pillars are equally important to us and expanding in the new year.
So when you say that, so that becomes a partnership with hospitals and clinics?
Yes.
And how they divvy up the workload. So that's what you were talking about as far as divvying up the workload of people who are bedside and the nurses who can be attentive to the telehealth aspect of it.
And it's a new way of doing things. I mean, this nursing shortage, we're almost 1 million nurses short. We're going to get there really soon. We're not going to be able to flywheel 1 million nurses. However, one thing that consistently comes up in surveys where nurses are like, I would stay in the profession if you can give me a virtual shift or two. Virtual nursing and remote nursing is very attractive for nurses. And we're looking at ways to attract and keep nurses in the profession. So it's a style of nursing that nurses want to do, and it can keep them in the profession and even recharge them and motivate them for their bedside care.
Well, and it's interesting because I feel like this is something that became a thing. Like telehealth it's had such a skyrocket because of the pandemic. And if you don't have to go in, don't go in. And I was lucky enough before I moved back to Wisconsin, between San Francisco, New York, and LA, I was a member at One Medical. So that this is, I mean, I think, did Amazon buy them?
I'm not sure.
I don't, they got bought. But it was this kind of membership. And so I was always in that system for the 17 years almost. And one of the aspects was being able to just email your doctor and do telehealth and then not have to necessarily go in and take time off of work, get charged for because you wouldn't get charged for the actual email and the response. And so when we come back, I kind of want to talk about how the insurance companies feel about you, because I have a feeling that they don't like you. And it's actually, we were talking about insurance earlier today and Medicare Advantage. And so this is kind of a theme for today. And so when we come back, we'll touch on that and talk about more of where people can get more information. Our guest is Bree Laughlin, who is the CEO and founder of Nurse Disrupted. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Speaker Voss, I understand you don't have any children. Does that mean he's been possibly practicing
sex with
contraceptives?
What?
Or is he just less than a man? How do you go through the entire life three wives later and no chitlins?
Shooting blanks?
Perhaps.
Pull and pray.
Doubtful.
Not getting any.
Unlikely.
Unable to perform.
More likely.
Paying for it.
I hate to judge.
We don't judge here. We're the devil's advocate.
Listen to the Devil's Advocates live weekdays from 3 to 6 p.m.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
A winter storm watch begins at 6 a.m. Thursday morning and continues until 6 a.m. Saturday morning. Mainly clear overnight with lows around 2 above. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. 23 tomorrow, cloudy skies. Cloudy again tomorrow night, snow likely 22. 3 to 5 inches of snow tomorrow night through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height, currently 5 above.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this half hour is Bree Laughlin, who is the CEO and founder of Nurse Disrupted, which is delivering a new way for nurses to deliver virtual. See, like, how would you describe it? So it's like through the kiosk, you can talk to a nurse and they can help diagnose you and get you the information that you need in its simplest form, right?
Yeah. And in nuance, nurses don't diagnose.
Oh, okay.
But they triage.
Triage.
So triage, evidence-based triage.
Perfect.
Yeah, perfect.
Thank you for the correction. Like I said, my experience with telehealth was because I was part of One Medical. Unfortunately, they do not have an office in Wisconsin, so I'm no longer getting my primary care through them. But one of the things that was great is that you could do telehealth. You could email what is this rash? Mm-hmm. Instead of like trying to diagnose yourself on WebMD. But the great thing was if you sent an email and you got everything kind of like done via that, you didn't get charged $400 for them seeing you for 10 minutes and that going against your deductible. And so how does insurance play into all of this in your vision of how this can help nurses, help people who need care, and necessarily not cost anyone that much money?
Right. I want to add something to your scenario. So I love what you're talking about. The boom of telehealth in the pandemic was massive. And prior to the pandemic, I think of, you know, coming from an electronic health record, the patient portal. And utilization of the patient portal is often synonymous with virtual care, the ability to message your provider, the ability to have a telehealth visit. Do you have any idea what percentage of the United States can use an mHealth app or patient portal?
I'm going to guess 10.
10%. It's better than that.
It is better. Okay. Sometimes if you set it up, you're like, I'm going to go really low.
Prior to the pandemic, it was right around 37, maybe 40%. Okay. It's pushing the upper edge of the 40%. But think about this. That means that half of the United States can't do what you just described. Mm-hmm. And that's where we come in with our place-based telehealth kiosk that someone simply walks up to and touches, and it places that video visit. I think of my dad a lot. I think of my parents, their ability to send messages just like you talked about. It's just not there. They can't mm-hmm. do it. It's also a de-identified connection. It's not connected to the data on your smartphone. So if I want to have a truly private engagement, that there's not the logging in, the identification of Bree Laughlin, and that we can have that visit. Now, insurers, surprisingly, we've been approached by especially Medicaid insurers. And what you've got to know is that when they're responsible for a live, it's called managing lives, right? You are a part of my insurance program. When you go to the emergency department, it is very expensive for a payer, especially when you go there And you didn't need to. So they've actually come to us and said, Nurse Disrupted, we want to work with you. They have been excited about the idea, especially in our underserved communities, largely Medicaid population, in getting more appropriate level care. So although you're not getting that emergency department charge per se, I mean, health systems aren't getting reimbursed these full amounts. They're losing out on cash when these types of encounters happen. Same thing for insurance companies. They're paying these huge bills that they don't have to pay. So it's very attractive for them, for the people that they're insuring, to have cost-effective quality care with really good outcomes.
So specifically, Medicaid is looking to, like, Medicaid providers are looking to partner with you because this is for them a good thing.
The people who, the payers largely, the three payers who have approached us to date have been Medicaid providers, because what people know most about us is our work in shelters and specialized community spaces. Our interim president, Sean McCormick, also is a pediatrician who is expert in population health. And so when he's talking to health systems, who are also payers, then there's this whole interesting piece of healthcare economics where they're carrying their own insurance. And so it can expand beyond Medicaid, saying, you know, the strategy, the population health strategy, is always the best quality healthcare at the, you know, most affordable price, which means getting the appropriate level of healthcare to people at the right time. And so he's been able to work with health systems and talk to them about their population health strategies and expanding through the health systems themselves. So payers, good, health systems, already working on population health strategies, and so we're fitting nicely into that ecosystem.
So quickly, I just want to give you a chance to brag. To date, because I don't know if the numbers I have are up to date, because the article when I first found you guys was a couple months ago, but to date, what are the numbers as far as, like, people served, kiosks, dollars saved? Like, what are some of the huge wins that you've seen in the last 3 years since starting this?
Yeah. So, and we do need to update our numbers as well. You know, we're at 42,000 lives. We're at 1,200, probably above this. We need to update our data, 1,200 emergency department. And this is unneeded emergency department visits, very different than when someone's emergent and needs to go. But the unneeded emergency department visits come to a cost savings in Dane County of $2.5 million.
Wow.
So we're also working with, we have an incredible fire department in Dane County. Chief Che, who is responsible for emergency response, we've been working with them in regards to how many emergency calls are going to these areas, and how is it that we're making an impact. Because that's also very costly in the county.
Yeah.
You know, when people don't know what else to do but call 911 when they don't need to, then, you know, the economics, you know, on a county level are heavy, and we're working together to lift that up. It's better for the patients. Let me tell you, when you're experiencing homelessness, the worst thing you can do is go to an emergency department when you don't need to. Because when you're discharged, the shelter doors are often closed, and you haven't had a hot meal, and you have to figure out how to survive until the next morning. And so working with, you know, our awesome fire department, our incredible shelters, our health systems, you know, and saying we can do this in a better way. And for people who are like, if you still haven't bought in the economics for our communities, we are fiscally healthier when we deliver care in this way.
Absolutely. Well, this is fascinating. I can't wait to see how you grow. We'll have to have you back for an update as far as how the new launch in January goes. But Bree Laughlin, thank you so much for coming in. This is fascinating. You can check out Nurse Disrupted. We will link all of the information in the socials on our blog at asgoeswisconsin.com. Thank you for coming in.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Well, we're going to take another break. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Shoulders, you raise me up to more than I can be.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief, the Democrat-controlled House Ways and Means Committee has voted along party lines to release a report on former President Trump's tax returns. Loyola Law's Lori Levinson.
The public will finally get Donald Trump's tax returns, and just at the time where he has announced that he's going to run for office again.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is coming to Washington, says CBS's Nora O'Donnell.
It is his first trip out of the country since the war began in February, just as lawmakers are set to vote on a year-end spending package that includes $45 billion in new emergency assistance to Ukraine.
Soup kitchens in Mississippi are warning the homeless population about the Arctic air that will arrive later this week.
You're talking about hundreds of homeless people that could freeze today. A lot of them ain't got nothing. A lot of them get sleeping bags, ain't got blankets. They just barely do have clothes on their backs.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Join Max Inc. Radio this New Year's Eve as we present live at thespaceship.tv. Max Inc. Radio will broadcast live from the spaceship.tv studios 6 p.m. to midnight, plus live performances from the Civil Engineers. Linda and the Zeros. Porky's Groove Machine.
Who's there, the Spice Girls? Muy caliente.
Oh, they're not hitting. Live streaming video at thespaceship.tv and live on this Civic Media station. Let's party New Year's Eve starting at 6 p.m. live from thespaceship.tv. Happy New Year's from Civic Media and Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
The Devil's Advocates.
Aaron Mostofsky, who rioted at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, was dressed as Captain Caveman. QAnon shaman meets Law and Order?
Right. I mean, he pulled it off a whole lot better than Aaron Mostofsky.
Well, let me read a quote from the judge in this case. I hope you'll leave some of this fantasy world behind. Mostofsky was sentenced to 8 months in prison.
Looking at the guy, he might be one who loses his mattress on the first day.
Breaking news.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
I was about to get on the radio and be interviewed, and all of a sudden, I see something out of the corner of my eye move. It was a squirrel.
Oh, that's not good.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
I couldn't find the squirrel, but I knew it was somewhere in the house. I ended up naming him Albert. He was relocated to Brookfield, so he is now a suburban squirrel.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gina Beauclair.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. No matter where you're listening, across the Civic Media Network or on the Civic Media app, thank you for tuning in. Tell your friends about us. We have really interesting guests.
We really do.
We really have such...
We do.
It's so fun. Like, we have... There's so many interesting companies and people doing such interesting things and problem solving across industries. And we try to get them on the show. And so tell your friends about us. We're a growing show. We're a growing network. And so if you enjoy us, you should share us with your friends.
Turn some people on. Us.
Well, it's National Caroling Day.
Oh.
Have you ever gone Christmas caroling?
Oh, yeah. When I was in high school. Because I was in the choir.
So how many houses would you stop at in a once
Boy, that's an interesting
night?
Question. Maybe 10. you know, you do one. It's not like you're there for 20 minutes. You do two songs and you move on.
And yeah, I'm not sure I've ever gone door to door caroling.
Again, this is a long time ago. This is now. I'm afraid. What would people do if you actually showed up? My husband and I don't even answer the door when people
ring
the doorbell.
If the doorbell rings, you're like,
who is that?
Who is that?
Exactly. There's so much suspicion now.
And so yeah, but it's National Caroling Day. I think to celebrate, we are going to Walker's Pint in Walker's Point tonight because a piano bar performer that we met in Aruba on our honeymoon
so
is performing holiday sing-along at Walker's Pint tonight. And so will be my national caroling for the day. But yeah, I feel like it's a lost art form as far as people's willingness to do it and people's willingness to open the door to enjoy it.
Yeah, that I think is the bigger issue. There must be high schools that still do that because that's who we did it with.
Was just through high school?
It was the high school choir, and we would go out and do some caroling.
Yeah. If you have carolers that still frequent you, I would love to know about it, because I'm not sure I've ever had carolers on my doorstep.
Well, and
if I have, maybe I'm forgetting something, but...
I don't think we just showed up at random doorsteps, or maybe we did, but I almost think that our choir teacher would make arrangements with people, and we're going to be stopping at, you know, so in the Schmitzky's house, and we'll stop, and then we'll stop at this house. And
did you have to dress up in like Christmas Carol garb?
No,
like...
but I would have been all about that.
like little buckled shoes and a petticoat.
Sign me up. Fur muff and stuff. Oh yeah.
Little bonnet.
Oh, I'm totally there.
Oh gosh. Well, the other thing that I thought was interesting and festive was a catalog of the most popular toy the year you were born.
Oh, that's great.
And so, I mean, it truly starts in the one that I found. So this is on stacker.com. It starts in 1920. So if you want to text in right now and find
give your
out.
Birthday.
Give us the year you were born, and because I'm not going to read 100 years of what the best toys were. But
we have 15 minutes.
Yeah. 844-967-2789. If you want to know what the most popular toy was the year you were born, just text us the year you were born, and I'll let you know. But what year are you, Jane?
I am 1960.
All right, 1960. So my parents are 55, so I'll start there.
Okay.
And scrolling.
1955, I want to say...
What do you think it is?
I think it is a skateboard.
That's an interesting guess.
Yeah.
It's wrong.
But interesting.
It's Silly Putty.
Really?
The original estimated retail price?
29 cents.
$1. Oh. Really expensive.
Wow, that was pricey.
No one's really sure who invented Silly Putty. But nearly all agree that the strange material was invented by accident. So it's somewhere around World War II. It was like the government was commissioning chemists to create a synthetic rubber substitute. And somehow out of that, it became Silly Putty. And then by 1955, they were selling it as a children's toy.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
Because I want to say... One of the first things I remember doing with Silly Putty was laying it on a comic in the newspaper.
And then peeling it
off. And then peeling it off because the color would lift.
And you could read your paper on your Silly Putty.
Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
All right. So then 1960, what was your guess at the beginning of the show?
Jax.
I wonder if Jax are on here. So I'll do a control F in a second for Jax. Because it was not Jax in 1960. It was Etch-A-Sketch.
Oh, loved Etch-A-Sketch.
Yeah. So it was...
Loved it.
It was, I think, in French, L'écran magique, which translates to magic screen.
Okay. L'écran magique.
But yeah, it was a French electrical technician, André Cazagnes, created it. So it was originally a French maker. And then an Ohio art company decided to spend $25,000 on the licensing rights. And then the toy was renamed in the process. And by 1960, it was at the top of all the Santa lists.
Isn't that interesting, though? Again, another invention, though, entirely intended for something else.
Yeah.
That turned into a great toy.
A toy.
Yeah.
And this is, I mean, it's so funny to, this is a great, I will link this to the today's blog because it's fascinating to kind of go back in time and the history of this. So I'll do, we'll skip to the 80s and see, God, it's so funny.
Well, we got a couple textures checking okay. in. Tom from West Dallas was born in 1961. He thinks it's Barbie.
Ooh, I actually just saw that, and 1959 was Barbie.
Oh.
And so 1961 was actually Slip and Slide.
Oh.
And the estimated retail price was $8.95 per box.
That?
Per box of six.
Oh, for a box of six?
Yeah. And so, the Slip and Slide has relatively dangerous origins.
Oh, yeah.
It said, yeah, it was wet pavement on their driveway. Drawing on his work with synthetic fabrics, Carrier created a plastic slide for kids to put down over hard surfaces.
Wonderful idea.
For a slicker, presumably safer experience than concrete. So,
not so much.
Not so much.
Not so much. 414 wants to know, born in 1970, what was the top toy?
1970 Nerf ball.
Huh.
Nerf ball. Retail price was $2.
Okay.
And it was made of non-expanding recreational foam. I don't know whatever that means.
As opposed to non-recreational foam?
Yeah, exactly. it was marketed as the world's first indoor ball, which I guess it is.
Yeah.
It's something you can throw. I mean, you still can break some porcelain. You can break your mom's china by throwing that ball, but it's at least better than like a basketball.
Definitely.
Any other takers?
Tom says yes to the Slip and Slide road rash.
All right. I got, let's do 1986.
That's
which,
you.
Which was me. Control F. Nintendo Entertainment System. The original. The original, like, Duck Hunter, Mario Brothers, Nintendo, the gray one. So it was estimated retail price was $200, which I'm guessing was a lot in 1986.
That's a lot of money.
But it was the Atari craze had slowed by the mid 80s. And so at that point, it slowed so much that apparently gaming consoles had seemed to be on the brink of extinction in the U.S. But that didn't stop Japan starting Nintendo. And by the end of 1986 for Christmas, it was top of the list.
Oh,
and video
man.
Games, that was kind of the mark of video games becoming a benchmark in American culture, basically ever since.
I had
and so
no idea.
I certainly played that game with the original. I think the only one I was actually liked playing was Duck Hunter, because you had the gun, and then you could play, and it wasn't necessarily just the
game
controller.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, you know what's really funny, if I look back at it, if you think about the technology of Nintendo being 86, you'll be surprised at how rudimentary the next year's top toy was in 87.
Give me a clue.
It's a game that you play with people that can spike anxiety a little bit as far as which piece are you going to choose so that it doesn't topple over.
Oh, is it... Not Jenga.
Yeah, it was Jenga.
Is it Jenga?
Jenga was 87.
So you're kidding me.
Right? It was estimated retail was $12. But don't you feel like that would have been, that would have predated Nintendo?
Yes, definitely.
Like wood blocks stacked together. Don't right. knock it over. It seems a little rudimentary. and then I know this one because I had a lot of these. 1988 was Troll Dolls.
But see, that's a resurgence because I had those in the 60s.
So I don't think it's the year they were created. It was the year
they came back.
What the most popular toy was that year. So it's not, because I think, so it's not necessarily the year it was created. It's the year that it was the most popular.
Gotcha.
And so I guess in 88, a lot of girls, maybe boys, also, they wanted trolls. I had a lot of trolls. I had a troll collection.
So did you play with them like Barbies?
Basically.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, a figurine's a figurine, right? Whether it's a Barbie, whether it's a G.I. Joe, you make believe with these little creatures and you
right.
make up stories for them, right?
Right.
And so it's so funny playing through that, like going through all this. And it's interesting because I saw a headline from earlier this year asking the question, like, are toys too brainy now?
Too complicated?
Well, because I fall in. So part of... Mike does these two events, 12 Bars of Christmas. So he does it in Madison. He did it in Milwaukee this weekend. And part of the proceeds from those events, he always does a huge splurge on Toys for Tots. So we'd have to go this week. Maybe he's doing it today. Of going to Target, buying a ton of toys, and then donating them to Toys for Tots. And I remember when I went with him last year to pick out toys, I certainly am more of my mother's child, and I was trying to pick educational toys.
Oh, geez.
Even this year, I am giving my niece a book. But you look through these, and the top toys are not necessarily ever educational, because they're toys really meant to be. Toys are just for play, right? And isn't there just developmental advantages to just let kids play versus yes. everything needs to be a puzzle or a book? And I'm telling myself this when I say that, but because it's so, like, no matter the years, like, the technology gets better, but you look through this list and it's wild that they're all just there to play with and be creative with versus
teach you something,
get you into Harvard.
Yeah, right. Well, and just, I mean, and you and I have a lot of things in common with our childhoods. Imagination is so important.
I know.
It is so important to be able to have that freedom to do whatever you want with a troll and have it be a doctor troll or a truck driver troll.
Totally.
Just all of that stuff is so valuable. And I understand you're wanting to impart some educational bonus, but come on, Aunt Kristen.
I know. Get something fun. I think Mike's fun. My Uncle Mike's getting her like a Barbie doll or some Barbie toy car or something.
I do love still shopping for Barbies.
Do you?
I do. They have so many. They do so many jobs now.
Wait, do you buy them for yourself?
No, I've donated to other charities. But I do like to go Barbie shopping.
Did you see that the trailer for the Greta Gerwig Barbie movie has dropped?
I have.
I haven't seen the trailer yet. Are you not a fan?
I'm not excited.
Did you see the trailer?
I have. I know what she looks like, Margot Robbie. I know what she...
And Ryan Gosling as Ken. You're not into it?
It's going to have to be really, really clever and really, really funny.
Well, I really like... Greta Gerwig is Lady Bird. And the newest rendition of Little Women, which I really liked.
True.
So her track record so far is pretty good as a filmmaker and as a feminist filmmaker.
True.
And so I feel like there's a chance that the liberties she's taking with this is debunking kind of some of the more problematic aspects of Barbie and Ken. That would be my guess of what the angle of the movie is, but you know, she could surprise me.
You know, one of the most problematic aspects of Barbie and Ken is they have no genitals.
I knew you were going to say that.
At least if I were a doctor, I would say that would...
Well, this is weird. All right, last one. What year do you think water balloons were the most popular toy?
We got about 20 seconds.
All right.
1932.
57.
Oh.
10 cents.
Wow.
All right. Well, we're going to take one more break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Katie Couric about some shows you can still see this holiday season in Milwaukee. That's an easy
thing to say, but if you're off, you pass away. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gina Beauclair.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss him. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll be woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct. Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A winter storm watch begins at 6 a.m. Thursday morning and continues until 6 a.m. Saturday morning. Mainly clear overnight with lows around 2 above. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. 23 tomorrow, cloudy skies. Cloudy again tomorrow night, snow likely 22. 3 to 5 inches of snow tomorrow night through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height, currently 5 above.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. We got one more segment before we're going to pass it off to Luke and Brian on Dueling Tangents or the Chad Holmes Show. But we have big expectations, Jane and I, of trying to highlight holiday shows happening across the state. But that's hard to do when you're out for a week and there's only really 3 weeks of the holiday season. And so we are still trying to do that. And so to talk about all the shows that are still happening in Milwaukee, or at least some of the must-see shows that are still happening in Milwaukee, we have public relations, senior public relations specialist from the United Performing Arts Fund, Katie Korick, joining us for the rest of the show. How are you doing, Katie?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So before we get into the different shows, just remind people what the United Performing Arts Fund is.
Yeah, the United Performing Arts Fund, or UPAF, as many have heard it as, is an umbrella fundraising organization. We fundraise throughout our entire Eastern Wisconsin, throughout the whole community, to fund the best in music, dance, song, and theater. So we are a huge donor to the top performing arts organizations like the Symphony, Milwaukee Rep, Milwaukee Ballet, really all the organizations that make Milwaukee and the greater Milwaukee area so great to live in. UPAF kind of has a hand in.
All right. So with that, I asked you, Ben, when we tried to reschedule this from last week, I was like, so what's left as far as, because I know a lot of different holiday shows have already had their run, but as far as things that people can still see this week or before the end of the year under the UPAF umbrella, what would you recommend people definitely go see?
Well, there are still plenty of shows left, and they're all like the big tradition. So you still cannot miss some of these shows. To start, we can talk about our Christmas Carol at Milwaukee Rep. This runs through Christmas Eve. It is such a holiday tradition for so many families. You want to go to the Pabst Theater all together. It'll snow. They'll have the great Christmas carols. It's got all the best parts of the holiday season in the show. And this year, something new about the Christmas Carol is there's a new Scrooge, and it is a local extraordinary talent, Matt Daniels. He does a lot at the Rep. He also does a lot at First Stage, Milwaukee Chamber Theater. You name the theater, he's probably performed there. And it's super fun to just have a super local take on Scrooge.
So I grew up multiple times. This was in Madison doing a Christmas Carol. As I have joked before, I was always cast as a street urchin. I was never cast as a Cratchit, which is what I really wanted. But and we would swap. Some years it would be a musical, and then some years it would be a straight play. So is this one a straight play?
This one is a straight play with music in it.
Got it.
It's definitely not a musical, but there is musical elements. So
Great. So Milwaukee Rep, Christmas Carol. What else you got?
Yep. First Stage is, they switch around their shows every year. They have a few holiday favorites that they kind of rotate through. And this year is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the musical. So you think of the TV special Rudolph.
The claymation one?
The claymation one. It is that on stage.
Oh, wow.
The costumes are extraordinary. You truly feel like you step into that TV special. And it's just that beloved story in such a unique way. They have, I think it's a Japanese technique, I want to say, that makes the people, quote unquote, fly. So it's essentially people on stage kind of dressed all in white, so they blend into the snowy scenery, and they help the reindeer in the different pieces, set pieces move, the different characters fly through the sky. They've done that with a couple shows in the past, so that's a unique part of this production of Rudolph, and it's just perfect for the whole family. It's 70 minutes, quick for the little ones. It's a great, like, first exposure to the arts.
Katie, does the Burlive snowman slide like he does on the TV special?
He's huge. He's huge. The snowman's huge. The
Bumble
snowman. That's Rudolph, right? He's huge. Some people are like, that might be a little intimidating for kids, but it's a beloved character. So
that's so funny. God, now I feel like I have to go back and watch that. It's been a while since I saw that. And then the
claymation one. Frosty, The Year Without a Santa Claus, all of those ones are just so good.
So classic. All right. And then another classic.
Yes, The Nutcracker. It is the Milwaukee Ballet tradition to have a beautiful production of at the Marcus Performing Arts Center. Another note that makes this year a little bit different, though, with The Nutcracker, it is the last year to see this Nutcracker performance in its current form. So the ballet has been working really hard to introduce a new Nutcracker that will be coming in 2023. Now, obviously, the Nutcracker is a Nutcracker. It's going to be the same story and the same feel, but there'll be new costumes. There'll kind of be some new fun special effects elements. So Michael Pink, the artistic director, has been hard at work reimagining this beloved story for these coming years, and it will run for years and years to come. But this is the last year to see it how you have been seeing it for many years.
Oh, that's very good to know. And then the last two, which still run into next week, one I've seen and one I'm going to see. So I'm pretty excited about that because I already have my tickets for the second one. So the first one I talked about on the show, which is a Jolly Holiday at
Jolly
Skylight.
Holiday, celebrating Disney's Broadway hits at Skylight Music Theater. It is running now. It is running through New Year's Eve.
It's excellent. It's so fun.
It's all the Disney hits. It's all of like your favorite Disney songs, from Mary Poppins to Tarzan is just like such an underrated favorite of mine. Frozen, because you can't do a Disney show without Frozen anymore.
Nope.
It is just all the beloved Disney hits, Beauty and the Beast, and it is such an incredibly talented cast. It's set in a ski lodge kind of feel. They're just a bunch of incredibly talented, lovely humans inviting you into their home to sing Disney songs with you. And a note, I don't know when you saw it, Kristen, but new to the cast in the last couple of weeks is Ben Tynai, who many know in Milwaukee as the voice of the Milwaukee Bucks. He sang national anthems the entire playoff run when we went to the championship. So he is part of the cast. Which
he sang the Star Spangled Banner at the Packers game last night.
Yes. I know. He's just all over.
He's
all
so
Wisconsin
good.
Sports. Yeah, there was a bunch of people on our staff that were like, Ben Tynai was singing the national anthem.
The singers are incredible. And so, and then the last minute we have left, we're very excited. Whether or not this is Christmassy, maybe there's an argument for there, but the Milwaukee Symphony is doing a play along with what movie next week?
We're going to call Ghostbusters. it is alive. They'll show the movie on the screen in the beautiful, beautiful Bradley Symphony
so
Center.
Gorgeous.
If you haven't been yet to their new venue, it is a must-see. They will play the live beloved score along with the movie. And what's better than that? It's a nice way that if maybe if you haven't gone to the symphony before, if it's something you might not sure if you'd like, this is a great kind of introduction. Their movies with orchestra series is so phenomenal, and it's such a fun classic movie.
Totally.
So,
Mike and I have our Ghostbusters Christmas sweaters all laid out, ready to go for next week.
Oh my gosh,
so,
how perfect.
Katie Couric, thank you so much for joining us. We'll have to have you back in the new year to talk about all the different shows that are happening in 2023. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It was so great to chat with you guys.
All right. Well, that'll do it for us today on this Tuesday. Come back tomorrow and we'll do it all again. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners. Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.